This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the besotted Pride of West London Weekend Review podcast. And we're coming to you not too long after the Burnley game, actually. It's probably not too long after we got back from the Burnley game, because it's taken us so long to get back from Burnley. Like, you know, we sort of came back, had two winks, and then we've come back straight into the studio. We're actually recording straight away. And it's probably quite good that, you know, the clocks went back, so it's given us an extra hour of kippage. So we've only had about an hour and a half of kippage instead of half an hour. But I'm Billy Grant, and I'm sitting here in the virtual joint. With my chums, have got Laney in the house. Laney, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, it's a bloody long way up to East Lancashire. And, come away with 0 points is a bit of a ball ache, as you rightly said. So, yeah, lots to talk about again today.
That's right. Lots to talk about. Nil point, I think the word is, Laney. Nil point, I think. You know, Brexit hasn't changed anything. We still get nil point. We've got Dutchman in the house. Dutchman, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Billy. Also grateful for an extra hour in bed. We did get a car back, so not quite the shenanigans that you guys had, but lots to talk about yesterday. Probably best to do it today rather than yesterday as well, I think, so looking forward to that.
Looking forward to it. So this is the Weekend Review podcast. We go through the game, we go through lots of different areas. We've got lots of little different sort of sections that we talk about. We talk about them very briefly, and then we discuss them in a little bit more detail, some of them, not all of them, on the Thursday podcast, which is going to be the Norwich podcast. Check that out on prideofwest.london. Also, I'll say to you, don't forget to check out the post-match podcast after the Burnley game, which contains Brentford and Burnley fans as well. Very fair views. Even the Burnley fans said, to be fair, you Brentford fans, tip your hat to you, you've actually been very fair. Check it out, prideofwest.london. Actually, it's about half an hour there of people just saying exactly what they think immediately after the game. I was even chasing after people in traffic queues and everything like that, as you do. But anyway, listen, Weekend Review. I'm going to ask you straight away, Laney, what was your main takeaways from that game?
My main takeaway is that we kind of feared it, that if you're not at your best in this division, you're going to get spanked. And we did. And I didn't expect it to be against Burnley. I didn't expect it to be them, the ones that taught us a lesson. But that's exactly what we were taught yesterday, that if our players aren't focused, if we don't get our game plan right, if we're suboptimum in terms of strength and energy levels, you're going to get turned over. And it could have been pretty much anything yesterday. Half-time came, and you know, we were able to regroup. So, yeah, I think it was that we always knew we were going to get a lesson, and we got one yesterday.
Why do you think it was, Laney? I mean, I know a lot of people have spoken on the post-match podcast. Definitely check that out, because there's lots of very interesting views in there. But why do you think it was that we just literally just weren't at our best?
There's the factual ones, that we were missing players that contributed for our incredible start to the season. You know, but the silver lining was Yanel was on the bench and Boemo was on the bench. So there's sort of some hope there. It's not like they're going to be long-termers by the looks of it. The kind of conspiracy theorists in me, well, not that there is one, but the theory that I'm kind of mulling over is that the players just didn't seem comfortable without David Raya there. Something had fundamentally changed, and it looked like the rear guard, our defence, were like bickering, which we hadn't seen. There was a few moments where there was words, and obviously, you know, you need to kind of give each other, the players need to give one another a G up if things aren't going right. But they looked a bit disharmony. They didn't look organised. Maybe we need a game or two to readjust to Raya not being there. We're not going to get it right every week, and you know, we saw some real topsy-turvy results in the division, which we'll talk about later on. But I think, yeah, a mixture of not having our best players, not being on our A game, and then I just think we were just literally, it seemed that we weren't a team yesterday.
The Dutchman.
Yeah, I think Lenny said it all really there. It was the day all those cliches came home about not performing, no easy games, and how much we miss Raya as a unit, you know, and it's easy to blame the replacement, but he didn't do an awful lot wrong other than be himself. But he's not Raya. And I thought, my takeaway was, I thought that the defence let him down, actually. I thought everyone's expecting him to adjust and him to be the one who steps up and change his way of playing to fit in with the style that we're used to. And I thought yesterday it was the time for our defence to help him, and I don't think they gave him any help at all. And I thought that was disappointing. But, you know, Burnley away isn't easy, and there are the cliches, aren't they? If we think we're going to go to Burnley away and Newcastle away and just storm it and come back with points, then we're wrong. Anyone can beat anyone, cliche number 63 already. And we've got to pick ourselves up and go. And I'm sure that we will. And watching Frank's interview afterwards kind of fills me back with hope. He realises all the things that we realise and saw all the same things that we saw and more, I'm sure. And, you know, it doesn't fill me with any less confidence that we'll be fine.
And for me, I mean, my main takeaways are, you've already mentioned the fact that, you know, Raya's changed the game, you know, and the fact that Raya is instrumental part to our team, so you know, won't go about that much more as well. And the fact that Brian not inside the side, which means that, you know, and this is not having a go at any players, and especially not having a go at players like Force as well, but there's a definite difference in dynamic there. So there's lots of changes in one time, which has obviously affected the team. The one main takeaway that I had actually is that Burnley is really far. I mean, listen, I was really excited about this game, as you know, and we got on the train, and Burnley is really far anyway, but Burnley is really far if you have to get bus replacement service and train replacement services, and it was good fun. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Like I said, look, good fun getting up there, but my God, is it far, and getting back from that place, especially when you have decided to let in a goal after 2 minutes, it's even further. So that's my main takeaway from that as well. And I suppose my other main takeaway is, and again, this is no rocket science, that early goal, it kills it. It can kill it, and especially when you've got players who are either not on form or they're not on it. That you get an early goal, it kills everything. And for us, not for Burnley. Burnley are very happy. So yeah, that killed it for me. Marks out of 10, Laney.
Well, it's going to have to be low, really, isn't it? I mean, you know, there were plus points, but not very many. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 10.
Dutchman.
In terms of a game, 4. In terms of a day out, 6.
No, the day out, we'll talk about that later. The game itself is 4. And for me, I'm going to give it a 2, actually. And again, this is no disrespect. If I was a Burnley fan, I'd probably be giving it a lot more, but I'm going to give it a 2 because that is just, as far as we're concerned, as a match itself, you know, for a neutral, you probably actually give that about an 8, actually, because it was actually quite exciting. But as a Brentford fan and everything, it's just horrible. So, you know, I'm going to give that a 2 out of 10 for that one. So, but listen, you know, we've given our main takeaways, but we also like to speak to the opposition, as you know. And we've got Natalie Bromley from the No Nay Never podcast. She was on the preview podcast on Thursday as well. Brilliant, actually, gave a brilliant preview that she did for the game as well. Well, sort of kind of really heartfelt view as well from a real football fan's point of view. So Natalie's wicked. She's come back on and she's giving her main takeaways for this match.
Hi, Brentford fans. It's Natalie Bromley here again from the None and Ever podcast, here for a debrief following yesterday's game at Turf Moor. I'm sorry. You ran into us at the worst possible time. I think you play us 2 weeks ago and you win that game. You met us at Turf Moor at a stage in our season where we'd finally found fitness, we'd finally found sharpness. Tex was usually about 9 or 10 games to get to that point. And I think probably following the Southampton result and the midweek game against Spurs, albeit that was the cup, but you'd also run into us at the point where mentally we realised that we really need to get our act together, otherwise we're in terrible, terrible danger this season. And everything fell into place. I thought the job was done in the first half. I'm not going to dwell too much on the second half because I just don't think that's necessary. You go into a second half of a game 3-0 up at home and you don't, you know, I think the optimal approach in a game then is to rest, to not go hell for leather, not to risk injuries, not to burn these players out so early in the season, just to essentially just keep game management and keep going. And that's exactly what we did. First half, I thought we were electric. We were creative, we were direct, we pressed high, and everybody knew the drill. Everybody knew what they needed to do, and you couldn't cope with us. And it could have been 4, possibly 5. I still think there was a penalty, I think, in that first half. I hate the offside decision. But, you know, let's not worry about that. And actually, Brentford fans, let me stress this. The only reason why I hate it is that we were told specifically this season that marginal decisions like that would be always given in favour of the striker, except not when it comes to us, clearly. So that's the frustration thing. It's consistency, again, of decisions, and it's consistency of approach. But I also thought there was a very strong penalty shout as well for the push on, was it Corney, I think? And again, I don't necessarily always want penalties to be given for those, but again, for consistency, they're given to other teams and they are given across the league and certainly against us, and I'm sure they'll be given against you at times as well. So match report for me from the Claret's perspective, match score 10 out of 10 for me. How can I possibly say anything less? Fairness, I'd probably say 9.5 out of 10. I'm only not giving it 10 out of 10 because I question the VAR approach and I question the penalty approach, but mainly in the interests of consistency for the Premier League, not in terms of individual application. It's a setback for you, but it's only a minor setback. 3 games now that you've lost back-to-back in the league, you'll get back on track. Still think you'll stay up this season. And look forward to seeing you again next year.
So there was Natalie Bromley from the Burnley podcast. So let's move on. The Brentford eye catcher, Laney.
Oh, bloody hell. Saman Ghoddos, that's all I can say. You know, he came on to make a kind of a substitution appearance midway through the second half, and he added some kind of spark in the middle. So, yeah, on an afternoon, really, where there was little real positives in any position. Kanos played all right, but I think Ghoddos was the Brentford man that came out of that with most credit. He scored a great goal. I wouldn't say he gave us a glimmer of hope, but with 10 minutes to go, there was you know, a miracle was on the, you know, was possible, but it just obviously didn't materialise. Burnley were wasting time even in the first half, so there was no way we were going to get back to 3-0 by hook or by crook. They were going to wind that clock down. So yeah, Saman Ghoddos.
Okay, so and give us marks out of 10 for Ghoddos.
7 out of 10.
Okay. The Dutchman.
Yeah, no brainer. Ghoddos, the only one really I could give more than 4 out of 10 to, I think. Yeah, now a couple of bright moments, but I'll go with Ghoddos and I'll give him a 6 and plus 1 for the goal, 7.
Yeah. Okay, so he's got a 7 out of 10. And for me, I mean, it's got to be Ghoddos because, again, it's a case of, you know, Brentford players were. I mean, let's talk about this just quickly because we're talking about Brentford eye catchers. This has been the first game where, you know, pretty much everybody has been quite bad. I mean, we look at sort of whoscored.com sometimes, and I think that other than Ghoddos and I can't remember the other player, I think it might be Norgaard, I'll have a look at that, but other than them, every Brentford player got a score which was worse than the worst Burnley player. So basically the Burnley player that got the lowest score, all the Brentford players bar two got worse scores than them. which I kind of think goes to kind of show where we were at that day. And I'm saying this as well, not taken away from Burnley and what they did, because I thought they were very good. We were also very bad. So I've got Godos on there. I'm actually going to give Godos, I'm going to give him 5 out of 10. Actually, I'm going to give him 6 out of 10 because he scored a really good goal. Technically, that was a fantastic goal that he scored. I'll talk about my seeing of that goal a little bit later. But yeah, I'm going to give him 6 out of 10. Moving on, the opposition danger person. I'm going to go for you, the Dutchman. Who's the opposition danger person?
Yeah, I thought the new signing, Cornet, was excellent throughout. I didn't know too much about him, but I understand he's been good in all their games so far and been their star player. And there was little touches of quality yesterday for him throughout, and the way he linked up with the front men, and he scored a cracking goal. So I think without a doubt, Cornet for me.
Okay, and what are you going to give Cornet?
8.
Yeah, we're going to be like parrots today, I think. I think Cornet again. As I was walking into the ground, there was one of those old-fashioned scarfs and badge sellers opposite Turf Moor, and I kind of stopped, and they were selling Cornet scarves, and I thought, he's obviously quite good if they actually made scarves. And then in the miners' club before, they were talking about him as well. So, yeah, he's obviously seizing his moment in the top flight. So, yeah, Cornet, what a great goal. Made it 3-0. Brilliant.
And not school prediction.
Well, yeah, I'd give him a 7.
For me, I'm actually going to go different. I'm not going to parrot myself up, but I think that Cornet was very good and he caused us lots of problems. But I think I'm actually going to give it to Woods up front, just because we've known him for ages. I'm pretty sure he was in the Burnley side was he the Leeds side, actually, you know, back in the day. Then he went from Leeds to Burnley, and we were a little bit like, Woods, you know, is he really that good? And he kind of didn't sort of set the place to light, and he's like one of those strikers who are like, whatever. But I thought that he kind of gave us a bit of the runaround, actually, yesterday, and I thought he was actually quite good. And Woods. So it's a bit annoying, actually, because, no one's really been talking about Woods as of late as being a player that you should look out for. And even the Burnley fans haven't been overly impressed by him. But I thought that he was, Cornet, you know, I mean, a lot of their players were just, you know, the way they moved the ball around, the way that he bullied us, the way that he's played the game, I thought he was good. So I'm going to give mine to Woods, and I'm actually going to give him an 8 out of 10. And I think I'm giving an 8 a little bit more as well, just because I didn't think he was good Woods. I thought he was bad Woods, but he was actually good Woods. So there you go. Stinker of the match. There's always a stinker in the game. And I'm going to ask you guys, what was your stinker of the match? Lady.
I am going to not dig out any of the Brentford players because I think they are allowed to have an off day now and again. What I am going to give my stinker to is the little shitbags that were to our left, the Burnley fans that just spent the whole game digging out Brentford fans, and just really, it was out of order. It was a thin dividing line of segregation, and they obviously love it there. They can just wind up and they can abuse and they can throw things. It was a Brentford fan being led away with blood pouring down the side of his head, gush gush, as they say. Obviously the coins were coming over as well from the Burnley fans. They were standing up, weren't even looking at the game. They were just spitting and abusing Brentford fans that had the misfortune just to be getting a ticket that was next to them. We wouldn't have known. It could have been us. We could have been next to them, unable to move. I thought it was completely and utterly out of order, and the Burnley stewards have to do that. We don't travel there. No one travels there to get that abuse. It's out of order. So that's my stinker. And out of 10, out of 10, 10 out of 10.
10. Okay, I heard there's a couple of Burnley fans, a couple of Brentford fans as well, quite young Brentford fans who actually left at half time because of the abuse they're getting. They were young, they were like sort of kind of 8 and 12 or something like that. And I think their parents said, look, we're out of here, and they had to go because it was quite bad. And listen, we're all for, you know, you sort of sit down there thinking, listen, we're all for banter, we're all for having a laugh, we're all for chanting, all this kind of stuff. I've even said that, you know, maybe if the away end was closer to the West End, and we've talked about this, that maybe there might be a bit, you know, we've got a vibe anyway, you know what I'm saying? But it's quite interesting because we said we can't near the away fans where we are, and maybe if they were closer to us in that other corner, there'd be actually even more interaction and even more vibes. But I think part of the problem was the sort of 6-inch dividing line between the Brentford fans and the Burnley fans. It was so small, like ridiculous. You were literally in the Burnley end, and they were just definitely giving it large, weren't they?
Yeah, and it's not about, you know, it's not about atmosphere or vibe. It's just abuse. And they were singing, you know, if they're young fans, you could hear them singing, "You're going to cry in a minute." You know, it was, they were obviously upsetting people, and it is wrong on every level. And the stewards have to chuck those people out. It can be resolved really quickly, and obviously they don't really give a monkeys about it.
Yeah, I don't want to pick on fans either, so maybe I'll change my answer. The original one was about the people giving Jensen abuse from start to finish, like he was the only one not performing. So collectively, I'll give my stinker to the back four, I think, yesterday, as a unit, and as their kind of obligation to help Fernandes in, and not really recognising what was going wrong until half-time. Making too slow to react and to change things and up the game. And I thought there was a lack of leadership at the back for the first time yesterday. And we need to put that right quite quickly.
Stinker, how big a stinker is that one?
Stinky mark, 9.
Okay, 9. And for me, I mean, I've got the defending down there as a stinker. I've got first minute goal as being a stinker as well. But for me, I'm actually going to say that my stinker of the moment is the fact that it's took me 5 hours to get up there. You know what I'm saying? And listen, you know, it's all good, you know, before the match, and then got inside the game. And it's like I said, Burnley's one of those old fashioned grounds. The terraces make me laugh because obviously you could see they basically just put seats on the old terraces. And the terraces had these massive steps. When you had to climb up, you had to sort of like properly climb up these really huge steps to go up. And when you're coming down, you had to sort of kind of climb down as well. And I sort of went down to, you know, to relieve myself as you were doing the game. And the ball was in action. But as the steps were so huge, they weren't normal steps. I sort of looked down, kept on looking down to make sure I wasn't going to fall over. And as I looked down, it was like, whey! And basically, I missed Brentford's only goal of the game, which is Godos. So it wasn't as even when I was out the stand. I missed them actually trying to climb down the massive Burnley steps. So that, for me, was the stinker of the moment, the fact it took me like 9 hours to get up there and back. And I actually missed the only good part of the game as far as we were concerned. So anyway, so I'm going to give myself an 8 out of 10 on a stinking front for that one night, you know. So listen, let's move on. I'm going to ask you, what was your key moment, the Dutchman?
I think I'm going to go with the second goal that was disallowed by VAR, because I think, you know, it's probably the first VAR decision that's gone in our favour, certainly a big one, and I thought that should have been the catalyst to kind of turn things around and accept we've got away with one. Instead, all it did was galvanise Burnley further and put us further on the back foot. I thought we should have kind of kicked on from there, and disappointed that we didn't. So, yeah, that's my pivotal moment.
And Laney, what's your key moment?
Yeah, well, I was going to say that should have been the pivotal moment. That should have been the shot in the arm, the kick up the arse, or whatever way you want to look at it, for us to get our game together. But it wasn't. I think the half-time whistle, really. I think that was just a relief. And then the performance in the second half was markedly better. Or whether Burnley had stopped pushing as hard as they were, you know, 3-0 up at half-time, game one, you try and get out of that unscathed. So, there was nothing else really on the pitch that was a kind of a turning point or a kind of a moment of brilliance that kind of really changed anything. So, yeah, the half-time whistle for me.
Right, and then we put it out there as well. And B, inside myself on Twitter, said that he felt that, or he or she felt, because you don't know, because he's got this person's got a logo as a photo, so you don't know if it's a male or female, said that Janelt coming on was the key moment for the Bees. For me, the key moment for the Bees, and this is just really wraps up where this game was for me, the key moment was actually the when the referee blew the first whistle. As soon as he blew the whistle, it was all over for us, as far as I was concerned. You know, and that was the key moment. Is we could do absolutely nothing about it from the very, very first minute. We were all over the place. You can argue the point. I mean, I was thinking about it. It was the key moment, the fact that when Ivan Toney, you know, the goalkeeper saved that chance from Ivan Toney fairly early on. You know,
that's a good shout.
I thought, because even if he did, I think the way that we were all over the place, we still would have lost that game. So I don't think it would have actually tipped the game in our favour, even though saying that in the second half, you know, when we did score, the Burnley fans were saying to us, you know, they said it in the post-match podcast, check it, PrideOfWest.London. They thought as soon as that goal went in, they thought they're going to mess it up and they're going to, you know, at least draw, if not lose the game. And it's like 10 minutes to go. So, you know, maybe they saw there was a shift there, and maybe the shift in the way that we, you know, if we got a goal, maybe we might have shifted. But I just don't think so. I think we're all over the place, and I think as soon as that whistle went, it was all over the bees, and we just got to put our hands up, and as we've done, and said, tell you what, you know, we've got that out of the way. We need to make sure that we focus ourselves massively for Norwich, and maybe it's done us a favour. Again, Thomas Frank's admitted it, we've admitted as fans, the players must have admitted it, and they realise that, you know, we go against Norwich, Norwich is coming to us, all their fans are saying, listen mate, you don't need to do anything to beat us at the moment now. If we go in with that attitude, which maybe we might have did at Burnley, we might have got ourselves completely scuppered. So hopefully we're going to come there a little bit more aware, a little bit more armed, and like I said to you, it'll do us a favour. So anyway, what we need to do is that, because we, look, we need to realise that these games don't necessarily go the way that we want them to do all the time, and there are positives. And there are negatives. So let's roll them into one. Positives and negatives for that game. Laney.
Positives. Well, it's really impossible to the positives are that Mbeumo and Yanel are kind of back in the mix. We know that they'll probably be in the starting 11 or next Saturday. So, looking forward, there's a glimmers of us getting back to the way we were a few weeks ago. Having that kind of you know, the team that you know, that we want, you know, and getting that attitude. The weakness has been caused by the absences. It's another week as well to work on getting the goalkeeper and the defence kind of on the same hymn sheet. So they're the positives. The negatives are that, you know, we have minus two goal difference on where we were, and you know, goal difference is kind of a good sort of psychological advantage for us, that we were in positive territory. We don't want to really start getting negative. So that's it. I mean, there's really no positives that was on the pitch. It's only looking forward, and the negatives, they speak for themselves. You know, the negatives were everywhere you looked. It was just not recognisable from what we've seen. So there you go. That's it from me.
The Dutchman.
I guess similar. Seeing those people back on the bench and coming on in the case of Yanel was a massive positive. And that's probably about it on the pitch. Godos, of course, as well, with his cameo and looking like he can play a part. But easier to talk about the negatives, I think. I mean, what worried me about not just the back four was the forward pairing again didn't seem to work. And we seem to try forcing Tony up there as a twosome, and you know, it hasn't really worked yet, and you can't quite see how it will. Not really criticising Force, it's just not the way he plays, and it's not his strength. We know what his strength is. He's a finisher, and he's more of a central player. But in that structure and formation that we play, you know, we need someone who feeds off Tony and gets beyond him or behind him and flicks, and that wasn't Force, and I think it's a bit naive to think that's going to change. So I'll go with that as the negative, that we kind of perhaps run out of ideas yesterday.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, listen, we're all in the same boat here. You know, I think what we realise is that our team, our first team, and a lot of people have said this, our first team is, it's sort of kind of almost picks itself. You know, so you've got Yanel and Mbeumo back, which is a positive, you know, or on their way back, I think, which is a positive. Or Yanel, you know, way back is a positive for us. And you see, obviously, with Mbeumo out, how much he brings to the game, how many times he may hit the crossbar, we can, you know, or the post, we can go on about that as many times as possible, but he brings so much to that game and basically puts the opposition under so many problems. And him and Tony are almost like telepathic, the way they play. And when he's not up there with Tony, it is a very different game for us. So I think the difficulty is that, you know, knowing that we are, when our first team is out, we think, you know, we're very excited about that. But when it's changed, we could be a little bit like, oh, okay, what's going on here? Also, the other thing is that, you know, Burnley have shown, obviously, Dyche has worked out how we play, and he's come out, and but we were on the ropes for a lot of that game. A lot of that first half, we were on the ropes, and he's gone, right, this is what we need to do to them. And, you know, he had been, you know, Canos was on toast certain time, you know, at certain parts of the game, you know, central defence. I mean, the defence was all over the place at times. And you sort of think, you know, and this is not disrespecting Burnley. If Burnley do that to us, you know, we've got some good tactical managers out there. Who else is going to take that Burnley DVD or old school DVD or stream, play it in their, you know, coaching sessions and go, this is what we need to do, lads. This is what we need to do about Brentford. So how are we going to cope with that? You know, and also, you know, what else going to, you know, Newcastle, you know, who's going to be their coach next? I've got no idea. Next thing they're going to, this is what we need to do. Even, you know, Farker, you're right. Okay, this is what we need to do. So I think we need to make sure as a team, you know, obviously that we kind of sort of snap out of this and we fill the gaps. And I think also the, for me as well, it's the negatives is showing that this is not a disrespect to Canos. But again, defensively, I think we need to be on the ball. We know that we need to be on the ball. And, you know, whether or not Canos is, he's a great player, but whether or not we can actually utilise him in another position on the pitch, not saying he's not right there, you know, all these questions I think are coming out, and probably from a positive, they're coming out now so we can deal with them in January. So, yeah, quite a few negatives there, a few positives, glass half full, as they say. But let's come and talk about the away day, the fans and the away day and the day out. I'm going to go straight to you, the Dutchman, on that one.
Yeah, I miserly gave it a 6 earlier, and that was reflecting the result. But in terms of the day out, I enjoyed it, actually. I thought Burnley was quite fun. We found a couple of pubs that were decent, good company up in the car. I thought the fans were okay, really, considering that we were 1-0 down after about 3 seconds. And they kept trying, and there was a bit of a lull towards half-time and picked up again in the second half. So I thought it was a good experience. You know, what's not to like about a pub that's £2.20 for a pint? I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I enjoyed it, and it was a surprising one. It was one of those I wasn't expecting to be a good one, but thanks to the company that we keep when we go to these games, it was good.
Did you give it a market at 10? Was it 6, did you say? What did you say?
No, I think it was stingy with a 6 early when I was reflecting the match in there. If we're talking about the experience itself, I'm an 8.
8, okay. That's cool. Elaney?
Really good trip up banter-wise in the car and on the way back. The traffic was shocking. The weather was shocking. We went to the Miners Club and we had hot Bennies, which was that Benedictine stuff they drink up there. We did immerse ourselves in with the locals, so that's always good. I thought the Brentford support was excellent in terms of numbers and spirit considering. So pat yourselves on the back, everyone, for getting up there. It wasn't easy. It's never easy getting there, and particularly yesterday it was a stinker. And watching the overtaking the coaches on the way back on the motorway, it showed you, you know, what a grueling day out it was for everyone to be rewarded with nothing. So yeah, all in all, an okay day. We made the most of it, but for me, 5 out of 10. Yeah.
Okay. And for me, again, it's a hard one, this one, because what's happened is that when you do these big away days, the score is sometimes it also score dependent as well. And going up, I mean, the journey up was great, you know, getting up there, going there early, you've got the anticipation, meeting the Chelsea fans, you know, at King's Cross Station, have a bit of banter with them, you know, and a few other fans as well at King's Cross Station, you know, Brentford, they're all tipping their hats to us, to be fair, you know. You know, the Chelsea fans on the train, you know, watching the draw. Actually, it was great going up the way. We went up on the train to Leeds, then we got to Hebden Bridge. Beautiful place, Hebden. But because of the bus replacement, it's a bit of a gutter because we weren't going to stop off in Hebden for a couple of hours, have a few drinks and then go across. But we couldn't because we had to shoot across. We thought we'd get there after the game instead. So we took the bus through Hebden and we went across the Pennines, and it was a beautiful journey. It was great. Loads of bees on the bus replacement as well. So we had a good sing-song over that. So that was all good. We decided to go to the cricket ground before the match as well. Don't normally do the sort of kind of designated away pub, but the thing about it is with Burnley, there's too many places all over the place. We had kids with us and stuff, so we gave them the ball, so they were playing football on the pitch right in the light of the Burnley stadium as well. So the kids were playing football, you know, we were having a few beers and it was outside. But then it started to rain as well, and the cricket ground's great if it doesn't rain, but all of a sudden it starts to rain, so you find yourself inside, outside. So it was kind of all right in the game. I think the fans were, I thought 2,000 fans there, again, brilliant. You know, atmosphere is good. We talked about the Burnley fans, not going to talk about that again, but the goal in the first minute killed it. Just killed it for you as a vibe. And, you know, 3 goals in the first half, it's going to kill it as an away day. As much as you tried to have a little bit of a laugh on that one, it really did kill it, you know. And then after that, getting back, when you're in a bit of a downer, you know, you've got to get back, you're on a bus replacement, if it wasn't a bus, if we'd gone 3-0 and we'd won 3-0, it'd been a brilliant on the way home. You didn't really care. Everyone's having a right laugh, but the 3-0 and the early goals really killed it. So it did make it quite painful on the way home, but it's one of those things that you can't predict, because if we'd won, it would have been a brilliant journey on the way home. I had all sorts of stuff in the pockets, quizzes and everything like that for the train on the way back, as you do, you know, loads of beers, but it didn't quite work out. So for me, I'm giving it as an away day. And this is not a disrespect to Burnley, but it's our experience of the day. I'm actually going to give it like a 3, just because, you know, Burnley was laughing because they said, yeah, but we did it. That early goal really killed it for us. And also the bus replacement didn't really help on the way back. So listen, the fairness, we need to find out the fairness of this game, guys. What do you think? You know, Infogol has a weekly fairness score that they put, and, you know, 100 is 100% fair, and, you know, 0 is obviously 0%, very unfair. You know, the Chelsea game was 31%, you know, on the fairness rating when, you know, we hammered Chelsea and they got a 1-0 win. So that was 30% on the fairness, 31% on the fairness rating. What do you give this one on the fairness front, Laney?
It was very fair. Absolutely no quibbles. 90%+ in fairness. I don't exactly know how they gauge anything between 90 and 100. Is it going to be any more fair? So yeah, between 90 and 100. You could even go 100.
Yeah, but you've gone.
I've got 91%.
Right, so
91%.
Laney's in a 91%. The Dutchman.
Yeah, I think I came in at 95%, but same as Laney, it could easily be 100, to be fair, or not fair. Yeah, well, what can you say? Everything, the expected goals, the way the game panned out, it was a fair result.
Okay, and as you say, expected goals, 2.95 to 0.95, and there's an argument to say that that was kind of spot on 3-1. But then looking at that as well, there was B's best chance was Godos. 15% chance, you know, the goal that he... Godos is 11%, the goal that he scored, actually. So 1 in 10, roughly, would have gone in the back of the net. So a very well-taken goal, that one. Now, the best chance was actually 15%. I'm not quite sure who that was. I think it might have been Tony, you know, but that was actually 15%. So still, that was our biggest chance. Whereas Burnley actually had four shots, which were over 40%. So basically 4 shots, which is 4 in 10, which from an XG level, that is actually quite a big chance. You know, so they had 4 of those, and then they had another one, which is about 35 as well. So there's an argument to say that it could have been about 5. You know, you think about the goal that was disallowed, that probably wasn't part of them stats as well, the VAR goal and another one. You know, you're talking about 5. So if you're talking about fairness rating, actually, you know, there's Burnley fans that probably could have argued actually 3-1, fairness would have been 5-1, you know. So, and I would have probably said actually, I'll probably give you that. So from a fairness rating, I actually put 97%, actually. So I've given it, and Nat, as well as you heard, she's given it 95% as well, very similar to you. So I think we're all in the same manner. And Infogol has actually given it as a 99%. I've never seen a 99%, but they're probably saying it's probably as fair as it goes with these ones. So 99% on the fairness rating, and I think that's fair enough, actually. And hopefully we're never going to see one of those again. So look, let's have a little bit of a league recap, okay? So where we're at the moment now, we played 10. We've got 12. We're in 12th place. We're 5 points off. We're 5 points off 6th place, which is Arsenal, and we're 5 points off 17th place, which is Burnley. You know, so it kind of goes to show you where we are. We're sort of kind of stuck right there in the middle, and you know, and we've got 12 points as well. So, you know, we're at the stage where we need to pick a few things up. We've got Wolves, Everton, Spurs, and Leicester above us. I think we've got Villa, Saints, and Palace below us. In the Justice League, I don't even know where we're on the Justice League, actually. I think we're fourth or something like that, but, you know, but it doesn't really matter. But Infogol actually predict us as being 15th and 538, interestingly. Last week, they had us down at 11th, their end of season predictions. We're down to 14th now. They predict us to get 47 points. They had 49 points last season. And I'm laughing at this. We've got 9% chance of relegation now. We had 8% last week, and we've only got 2% chance of making the Champions League now, and that's down from 4%. So, Laney, I think you better stop booking those flights that you were booking. Is that the way forward?
Yeah, yeah. You just got to take you know, it's okay to be inconsistent. You know, we're gonna get it. You know, inconsistent teams in this division are fine. They end up in the middle. We're not going to be shocking every week. We proved that we're not going to. We have to get back on the bike again. We've fallen off yesterday. We need to get back on next weekend against Norwich, and then obviously we've got a week or two off, in which we need to make sure that many of our players get rested as possible. I hope they're not included in the international call-ups, which they're going to. But you know, and then we've got Newcastle. So yeah, I'm okay. I mean, it's not great to see. You don't want to watch it, but you know, it's inconsistency is fine. You survive being inconsistent. You don't survive by being shit every week, and we're certainly not that.
No, and Leeds are actually playing today, and if Leeds win their match, then Leeds kind of pop up a few more places as well. I'm just wondering, I don't know if you looked at any results yesterday, the Dutch win. I mean, for me, it's interesting because obviously having a 5-hour journey back, you know, it's one of those ones where normally after the game, you go straight off the game, record the post-match podcast, go to the pub, and then you kind of switch off. So you don't really see anything, hear anything. And that's why you don't normally kind of hear from us till sort of kind of Sunday afternoon. But having a long journey back, we did a lot of pouring through the sort of the match reports, sort of kind of what other people were saying, because, you know, you're sitting there on the train chatting amongst yourselves. And also you're looking at the other results. And I'm just wondering, did any other of the other results kind of give you a little bit of question mark, or you were talking about that maybe in relation to us, the Dutchman?
Well, you certainly see that there's some shocks yesterday. I mean, Palace being the obvious one. I mean, we bumped into quite a few travelling fans at the service stations, like you do. They were quite happy, it must be said, after their result at City, and the Spurs shocker in the evening. So I think it gives us that confidence, as Laney says, that as long as we play to our usual standards more times than not, then we'll be fine.
And then, sorry, and you said basically Palace beat Man City at Man City 2-0, and the Spurs shocker is basically what them losing to Man United at home as well.
Yeah, and how badly they lost as well. I mean, my Spurs mates are saying that's it for Nuno, he can go as far as they're concerned. They can't see where their next win's coming from, so it could always be Spurs, kind of. We could be worse. What was surreal yesterday? So we listened back to you guys after saying goodbye to you at the ground. It was such a long journey that by the time we got home, you'd finished the podcast, put it on air, we'd listened to it and discussed it in the car way before we got back to London, which was quite fun actually.
Yeah, that's how it's meant to work as well. We're meant to be trying to get it down there so that the fans travelling home can actually kind of hear it, which is all good. Just quickly, I'm just going to sort of kind of ask a little question here, though. You're talking about the Spurs match and them getting battered by, you know, Man United. We're talking about Man United getting battered by Liverpool. We're talking about, there's so many different results that are sort of, you know, Man City getting beaten by Crystal Palace. I mean, we're disappointed that we got beaten by Burnley. There's a lot of people, and there's an article by Jim Levack, very good article if you want to check it out, where Jim Levack's saying we need to take a reality pill and chill out, because all of a sudden the Twitter sphere, as they call it, has gone into meltdown, saying, you know, how Brentford are terrible, and it's like, you know, this is the worst things, you know, it's just like an absolute disaster, you know. And we're saying, look, you know, we need to kind of, you know, take a reality on where we are at. And the fact is that, you know, we've been playing great for all of this season. We've had one bad game and everyone's basically writing the whole thing off. Now, we're bound to get that, because this is not a disrespect to the younger fans out there. I mean, there's one younger fan who is beside us, actually, who's only started to support them probably in the last, you know, few years, maybe 5, 10 years, who is standing right beside us, who had a good chat to in the game yesterday. And he was totally cool. He hasn't been through the things that we've been through. But I think that, you know, there are some people who realise that, you know, listen, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. And you just got to be proud of the team that you're at. And listen, if we lose, on to the next one, like, you know. So I understand that. You know, but I'm just wondering, do those results, Dutchman, sort of kind of give you a little bit of hope, but just realise that where we're at the moment now, we're kind of almost like any other team, because, you know, you've got Liverpool, you know, battering Man United. You've got, you know, Tottenham getting battered. Yeah, we got beaten by Burnley, but Burnley were decent yesterday. I mean, are you thinking that? Or are you thinking that we're sub, like, you know, West Brom were sub, Fulham were sub those years. They were like a team that couldn't beat anybody. But are you just thinking, listen, this is just just knock this on the head for a little bit and just, you know, just don't worry about it. What do you think?
No, I think we're comfortable. But you, by the way, you can't say better without saying Fulham, by the way.
They get
better kind of everywhere they go. But no, absolutely. I think we are where we are in this league, and I think we'll be absolutely fine. I think the criticism that really annoyed us yesterday with some of the people behind us is that they, you know, instead of just criticising a bad performance or what's happened, they question everything about the club. You know, they question the structure and the way we work and, you know, the appointments. And you go, hang on, we just had a bad half, really, guys. And we've had, as Frank quite eloquently put yesterday, we've had 18 good ones so far out of 20. And even the one that he said West Ham in the second half was poor. It was one of the best away games I've ever been to in the second half, included that magic moment at the end from Wissa. So I think we're perfectly comfortable in this league, Billy, and you don't want to lose too many in a row for sure. And it's unfortunate that we just clocked up three, which covered two very, very good performances at home against two very good teams. So I think we'll be fine, and I think your point is absolutely valid.
And just quickly, the people that were making those complaints, were they older fans or younger fans or a mixture?
Yeah, these were all slightly older. You know, I don't think they were newbies in any respect. They were just people seemed to be harking back to the shit old days of before, you know, and just trying to tell them, mate, just chill and enjoy the moment, enjoy the ride. And, you know, there'll be plenty of good times this season as well. And there already has been.
Because that's quite strange, because again, what we've got at the moment now, you seem to have, you know, and this is, listen, everyone's allowed to support the team in the way, but what you've got is that you've got the younger fans who have not seen the bad old days, so all they've seen is success, so you get the complaints that come in early, but you also seem to get the older fans that as soon as it seems to go wrong, they seem to use that as an excuse to say that everything is just terrible and it shouldn't be, which I find quite peculiar, especially when you've been through such a journey as we have, to kind of just utilise that one downturn in sort of a kind of 199 upturns, and what that one downturn, you use that as that moment to actually kind of flog the horse.
And it's you know, you've got to look at the results. You know, Watford fans were probably, you know, high as a kite last week coming back from Goodison after beating Everton, and they lose at home to Southampton. They would have thought, oh right, hope we're home, we build on that. You know, Newcastle again, there's no bounce there. They're losing. You know, Liverpool would absolutely annihilated Man United the week before. They let a 2-goal lead slip against Brighton, and Brighton had a goal disallowed at the end. Leicester come to our place and they beat us, and then they lose at home to Arsenal, who we've beaten. So, you know, they are all over the place, and we are going to be all over the place in our first season here. You know, three defeats on the spin, not great. It might be four, it might be five, but we're still going to be all right. You know, because the team, the spirit isn't going to evaporate. You know, we're going to win games that we don't deserve. We're going to lose games we don't deserve, and we're going to draw games we should have won or lost. And the points will be all right in the end. So, you know, just because you've travelled up to Burnley, there's no guarantee of anything. You know, I heard a couple of people saying, wasted good money to see this. Well, we all have. You know, they're not doing it on purpose, and I know, but they have to put it equally. They have to get that spirit back, and they have to try and put it right next week. And I know you've got to get, you know, based on everything we've seen this season so far, is every reason to believe they will.
No, listen, Dutchman, give us your summing up in a short, sharp few sentences.
Yeah, lesson learned. We knew we were going to get a spanking. Didn't expect it to be yesterday, but that can only drive us forward and put us in good spirit for Saturday against Norwich, where I'm sure the sun will be shining.
Right. The Laney.
Don't underestimate Norwich either, is what I'd say. Don't underestimate anyone at all. Everyone's here for a reason. Everyone's here because they deserve to be. We've just got to make sure that we're more deserving of the points next week. I think we'll do all right. I think we'll do more than all right. But fair play to Burnley. Their team did them proud. Ours will do ours proud another week.
Okay. My summing up is that every team has got decent players, and every team has got decent players that can kill you. You know what I'm saying? Whether or not that's Palace, whether or not that's Man City, Man United, Burnley, even Norwich. Okay, so we need to be on the ball. The summing up is that, yes, as you said earlier, we need to be on the ball 100%. As soon as you switch off, we've seen us switch off in a few games, which has cost us, you know, maybe one goal wins beforehand. You know, your Aston Villa, there's a switch off with Buendia. You know, your Brighton, there's a switch off with Trossard. And then that killed us, you know, because we went behind. This time, we switched off from the start, and they annihilated frustrated us. And I think, like I said, lesson learned from that. And my other, I suppose, a summary is Burnley is just really far. And I can't really summarise it any more than that. That is really, really far. And possibly, it's almost like further than Newcastle, because Newcastle with that train, you can get up there and you get that really easily. But Burnley, in a way, psychologically, is a lot further. And I wonder if that affected the players. But anyway, listen, we've had a good chat and it's been good to get this off your chest. This is the Besotted Weekend Review podcast. It's been good for me to sit here and chat with my chums. I've got Laney in the house.
Good afternoon.
And I've got the Dutchman.
Cheers all.
That's right. And listen, don't forget to subscribe to Besotted now. If you subscribe, then you'll get our podcast come down to your phone or your laptop or whatever it may be immediately as well. And if you go to iTunes and write us a review, it'll be really, really good. We would love that. Also, go to besotted.com/beer. And you can buy us a beer if you want to, if you like what we're doing. Thank you for everybody who supported us. Thank you for everyone, and I keep saying this, who keep coming up to us and saying, thank you very much for what you're doing. People that we've never heard before, you know, young people, old people, we're obviously picking up a lot of people, a lot of new listeners to this podcast as well, which is really great. So I really appreciate you coming up there, chatting to all the people, had a few beers with people in the cricket club beforehand as well, which is all great. You know, even Will, the spreadsheet Winker, was down there as well. It was his first game of the season, so good to have a little drink with him as well. So thank you. I really appreciate all your support and all you listening to us. So thank you very much. Don't forget, we've got another podcast which is going to be on Thursday, which we're going to record on Wednesday evening. We've got Talk Norwich City, the Norwich fans who are going to be doing that. I'll be doing a piece for them as well, so definitely check that out. That'll be out on Thursday morning. And I don't know what else to say, actually. I actually wish we can go back to Burnley so I can go back to Hebden at some stage. So maybe, look, let's just work that one out, how we can do that for next season. Like, you know, because it's a very nice area, very nice place. But,
well, Bill, if you're thinking of going out to Burnley, the miners club we were in yesterday, beer's £1.80 a pint between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. every day this week. So if you want to get back up there for 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, £1.80 a pint, buddy.
I'll leave now and I'll just about get there, I think, actually.
You bargain. Bargain.
That's right. So, which is all good. But like I said, this is the Besotted Pride of West.London podcast. And Saturday, Norwich, we've got to turn it back around again. We know that we could do it. We've got a very good side. Listen, as long as we get ourselves focused. But as we say here, it's a Sunday afternoon. Have yourselves all a good Sunday. Have a good Monday, as we say, as we say.
Come on, you bees.
Come on, you bees.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go Facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.